Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And happy Tuesday to you, everybody. As always, we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Coming up this hour here on the show, we are excited to welcome on a brand new guest. We have not had him on the show before. Wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins, also special teams ace, Mac Hollins is going to join us. Mac is part of a team that has won back-to-back games against the Niners on the road and at home against the Jets and are suddenly a very interesting watch. We'll talk to Mac Hollins, Dolphins special teams ace and wide receiver, coming up in 20 minutes. And in 40 minutes, do you think your parents know what Twix are? Okay, this question is going to be asked today because a legendary sports writer and a friend of the DA show, Bob Ryan, admitted on Twitter the other day that he does not know, has never heard of Twix. Is this a generational thing? As Bob is in his, I believe, late 70s, mid to late 70s. Is this a generational thing? Or is this just Bob Ryan being obtuse? And I love Bob. But I do ask this question, how is it possible you've never heard of the candy bar Twix? We'll discuss coming up in 40 minutes from now. But I want to start with college football here this hour because Joel Klatt from Fox Sports had a series of really interesting stats that he tweeted out last night about the recruiting game and about the talent which is across the country. There is a lot of people that really resent the SEC's arrogance. We were just talking about the Yankee fan arrogance. There's a lot, understandably so, people hate an arrogant person in general. And in sports, much of the same thing. So Patriots fans or Lakers fans or Yankee fans or Cowboys fans that are arrogant about their past and about their championships, etc., become really obnoxious and difficult to swallow. And so the SEC, where the conference slogan is, it just means more, rubs a lot of people the wrong way. But there is a very damning reality for everybody that hates the SEC. How about this recruiting stat that Klatt tweeted out? I couldn't believe when I saw this. Alabama, Georgia, and LSU. Those are the three kingpins of the SEC. Alabama, Georgia, and LSU have a total of 35 five-star recruits. Five-star is as good as you can be. It's like a Michelin rating. That's as high-end as your recruiting a player can be, five stars. They've got 35 of these between the three of them, 35. Between the ACC, the Big 12, and the Pac-12 combined, there's 39 five-stars. Okay, so comparatively, the three best teams of the SEC have as many elite talented players as the entire ACC, Big 12, and Pac-12 almost combined. Those conferences, 39, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, 35. Now that's insane. Now that's certifiably insane to think that in terms of all of the talent in the ACC and the Big 12 and the Pac-12, that's basically, in terms of the high-end talent, as much as you would get with three rosters in the SEC. Five-star recruits, recruiting rankings don't always convert one for one. It's not like you get a five-star kid and automatically he becomes the best player on your team, or they become the best players in the nation. They win the Heismans, they win all the awards, they become the first-round draft picks of the NFL and the top five picks in the NFL and go on to Pro Bowl and Hall of Fame careers. It's not necessarily like that. So some of this is misleading, because just because a kid is a five-star recruit doesn't necessarily mean he's the best player on the field. And certainly doesn't mean that he'll turn into the best college player or that he'll turn into the best NFL pro. But in terms of when it is scouted and when it is addressed, how good these high school kids are, all of that top-end talent is funneling into the SEC. Now, there's two exceptions to this. Ohio State and Clemson. Those two schools are recruiting like SEC schools. Those two schools are recruiting like their Bama, LSU, and Georgia. Here's the numbers for Clemson and Ohio State. Georgia actually has the most five-star players on their current roster. 16. Georgia's got 16 of them. And this also, by the way, tells another overarching story, which is how do you take down Alabama? You've got to recruit like Alabama. There's no way to beat Alabama if you're recruiting like Iowa State. It's not going to happen. You've got to recruit like Alabama. You've got to get that talent. As great as Nick Saban is, and Saban is a genius from a football schematic standpoint, the process, the franchise, the model, whatever you want to call it, how he has built this thing, clearly he's got smart and savvy motivation and all of the focus that you would need. But he also gets the talent. Nick Saban and Alabama is not the Tampa Bay Rays. They get five-star kids. So you've got to recruit like that. Georgia does, which is why Georgia's been able to be at that level, even though they haven't broken through for the national championship. Ohio State does. Clemson does. And how has Clemson beaten Alabama in multiple national championship games? Because they can go toe-to-toe with the talent that Alabama brings to the table. Nick Saban might outcoach you, but if he also has more talent than you, now you're toast. Here's the total number of five-star players on rosters of the elite teams, the elite recruiting teams. Georgia, 16, most of the country. Ohio State, 14. Alabama, 12. Clemson, 11. Okay? So that's your double-digit five-star kids at those four programs. All right? So you got to recruit like Alabama. But in terms of Ohio State and Clemson, they're not playing on an even playing field with their conference, which is why Ohio State and Clemson can match up against Alabama and on any given Saturday win a national championship if they had to match up against the Crimson Tide, where nobody else in that conference can. Michigan can't, Florida State can't, Virginia Tech can't, Minnesota can't, Michigan State can't. Pick your next tier of teams of those ACC and Big Tens. They can't. Ohio State has 14 five-star recruits, okay? You know how many are in the rest of the Big Ten? Ohio State's got 14. The rest of the Big Ten has 6. Ohio State has 14 of the 25 star kids in the Big Ten. Big Ten's going to open up play this weekend. Ohio State's going to open up against Nebraska. That's going to be a big game at noon. That's the Fox big game on Saturday. Ohio State plays in a world to itself. Ohio State doesn't play to win the Big Ten. Ohio State plays to get into the playoff and win a national championship. Now, I know that they've fallen short of that in recent years, but this is the type of talent that they have, which is why they blitzed by Michigan, why it's not really even a rivalry these days. Michigan simply doesn't recruit like that. The Big Ten has 20 five-star kids. Ohio State has 14 of them. Even worse than the ACC. The ACC's got 15 five-stars. Clemson's got 11 of those. Again, Clemson's not, they're not in this to win the ACC. That's why when they get to an ACC championship game, we all yawn. Who cares? This is about, can you win a national championship? And they can. Because they've got 11 of the 15 five-star kids in the conference. These are just harsh realities about where we are in college football. And you may ask yourself, why is there not more parity in college football when it comes to preseason rankings or the college football playoff? Why are we still getting the same teams every year? Why are we always getting these teams that I'm talking about? Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, LSU, Georgia, those are basically the teams. Why? Well, those kids. And before you say, well, it's about the coaches, those are all really good coaches. No doubt about it. Saban and Dabo and now Ryan Day at Ohio State, those are really good coaches. And Ed Ogeron coached a whale of a season last year. And Kirby Smart seems to be a really good coach, not an elite coach yet like Saban. He keeps getting his pants pulled down by Saban. But those are good coaches. But those are better recruiters than they are coaches. Those guys are better recruiters than they are actual X's and O's guys. Maybe aside from Saban. Saban, clearly, the X's and O's, he's a master at. But all those guys mostly are great recruiters. And their talent carries the day. They've got to be good coaches. They can't be terrible. But they've got to be great recruiters. And while TV money has spoiled a lot of athletic departments and has made a lot of coaches around the country rich and a lot of coordinators rich and strength and conditioning coaches rich and ADs rich, and while television money is now filtered all across conferences and multiple conferences. Now there's an ACC network and there's a Big Ten network and an SEC network. And, you know, there's all of these different television deals with Fox and ESPN and CBS that filters all this money into these programs, and donors are ponying up money, etc. As much exposure as there is, and as great as it is to see the party crashers, Washington having a couple of great seasons, Boise State or UCF out of the group of five conferences. While it's fun to see, you know, a random undefeated season by a program like Baylor, if they weren't cheating their asses off, or a random undefeated season by a team that's not normally in that conversation. It's fun. It's exciting. It's good to have new blood. At the end of the day, nobody recruits like those schools. And that's why those schools are in the national championship picture every single year. You've got to recruit like that. You just have to. And there has to be, if you really wanted to make it democratic, there would have to be some type of limitations on recruiting, even more so than there is now. Because if these teams are just collecting and gobbling up all of the highest end talent, one of your five stars can flame out. That's okay. You've got another five star to push in there. That's the difference. These other schools that get one five-star have to hitch their wagon to that kid. And if that kid doesn't deliver on his potential, you know, that's a huge whiff. If Alabama's five-star kid turns into a bum, fine. They've got 14 others that pick up the slack there. So this is the unfortunate reality of college football. I love college football. The playoff has been good. It's been fun. And, you know, The sport itself has never had this much attention on it. But there's a reason why it feels like it's a monopoly. It's the same schools are getting the best kids, and in droves. In droves. It's the same four or five schools, which, by the way, is a hat tip to Dabo for crashing that party. Georgia's always recruited really well. LSU's always recruited really well. Alabama's always had its pick of the litter. The party crasher, and Ohio State has always had the brand, but did used to recruit only in the Midwest. Now they go in the South. They go to Florida. They go to Texas. They get kids from all over. They go to California. The hat tip is to Clemson, because they crashed this party. Dabo did this. Dabo changed everything by going and getting the five-star kids that they weren't ever able to get. They used to get a few of them. Now they get all of them. That's where everything changed. And Mraz, I don't know about you, but when people gripe about the SEC that it just means more in this arrogance, like I said, when you look at the five-star kids by conference, the best talent is going there. And why are they going there? Because that's where the best recruiting is, because they've got the deepest pockets, they've got the best facilities, they've got the most passion from a swath of multiple schools, not just one or two in your conference. And those kids are seeing that that's where they can go to the NFL, so they're going to go there, yep. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. The SEC has 54 five-star kids. The next highest conference is the Big Ten with 20. The highest is SEC with 54. The next is the Big Ten with 20. The SEC has 54 five-star kids. The Big 12 has 11. Where would you want to go play college football if you had multiple choices? Of course. Why I don't think that the SEC is necessarily being arrogant, because unlike what I'm poking holes into about Cowboys fans or Yankee fans that don't win, the SEC is winning and they're getting the kids. How could you not be arrogant about it?
Of course. And if you're a fan of Ohio State or Oklahoma, yeah, maybe it's a little different, but you have to understand the conference you're coming from. Yeah, there's a reason those first 2 weeks of college football before the SEC got going, it felt like college football wasn't happening.
Totally.
Right? That first day of SEC football where all those memes went out and we heard the CBS music and everybody was all pumped up, it felt like college football arrived. That's the reason right there, because we all understand with our own two eyes, it means more, the talent's there. There's a reason if you're an NFL GM, you're usually more successful when you get to the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh round if you're not trying to find the one random guy from Appalachian State and instead picking the fourth linebacker from Georgia, because more times than not, you're at least going to find a competent player that is ready to play in the NFL. The SEC is everything when it comes to that. It's the safe way to draft. It's the same thing that pumps us up to watch. It does mean more. As much as it pains everybody to see that, it does mean more.
And when you watch an SEC game, it looks different. When
yes,
you watch an SEC,
the speed is totally different.
And granted, you know, Alabama and Georgia, those are two elite teams, so those are going to look different from just about anybody. But when you watch other next-tier SEC teams play against one another, it definitely looks closer to professional football than when you watch a second-tier Big 12 game or a second-tier ACC game. When you watch North Carolina play NC State, it does not look like when you watch the next tier under Alabama and LSU in the SEC.
No, yeah, Ole Miss Mississippi State is a much better game than Purdue and Iowa. I'm sorry, it is.
No doubt, it is, and we just laid out why. So Joel Klatt's tweets from yesterday, very enlightening, and put some numbers and stats on what we already knew. When we come back here on the show, the Dolphins are feeling good about themselves after two wins in a row. One of their special teams aces and wide receivers, Mac Hollins, is going to join us next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
You're so funny.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We thank you for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Our next guest is a member of the Miami Dolphins. Wide receiver, special teams ace as well, as the Dolphins are riding high after going to San Francisco, getting a win, as well as beating up on the Jets on Sunday. He's also a Special Olympics celebrity supporter and recently participated in Special Olympics' new Call to Action program, a surprise and delight moment where Special Olympics supporters surprise Special Olympics athletes and engage in conversation with them. It's awesome. It's a great way to stay connected during the pandemic. Let's play a clip from that special moment.
My man, Nick.
Oh, my gosh.
What is happening?
Good. Oh, I'm very good. How are you?
I am great. It's good to see your face.
Good to see your face, too.
What you been up to all quarantine, all summer? You been having fun? You been managing?
Oh, yes. I've been managing.
Huh?
And working out, too.
That's good. I've been trying to work out. I'm probably not doing the workouts you are. Probably not as hard, but I've been trying to work out. What you been up to?
Cool stuff from Mac Hollins of the Dolphins being part of the Special Olympics as a celebrity supporter. Mac joins us this morning on the show. Mac, good morning. How we doing?
Good morning, DA. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure, my man. Thanks so much. It's got to feel good. You guys feel like you're coalescing, coming together, playing good football. The offense is finding ways to get into the end zone. Life is good right now in Dolphins land, huh?
Yeah, it's always good when you get a win. Life is way easier when you're winning.
Feels like, though, that you guys built off a really good end of the season last year and then brought it into this year and are starting to feel comfortable in offensive sets, in game plans, etc. I thought it was kind of a breakout moment for you guys going to San Francisco and doing what you did there. Have you felt like as the seasons wore on, you started to get more and more comfortable as a team with who you are, your expectations, and executing the game plan?
Absolutely. I think last year, and then even rolling this year, we were a super young team, and we still are a young team, but every game you play is, you know, more experience for younger guys, more experience for guys to get to play against each other and understand that the speed of the NFL game. So I think every week rolling over from last year has really helped the younger guys understand, like, what it takes each week to be successful. You know, the preparation you have to put in and how important taking care of your body and stuff like that is that, you know, veteran teams, the veteran guys already know, but you can really only learn it through experience because the older guy can tell you 100 times, take care of your body, but you're 20 years old and you feel great every morning. It's hard to do it.
I'm a big Brian Flores guy. He feels to me like a guy that I would want to work for. I would want to play for. He seems disciplined and accountable and smart. What's been your relationship with Flores and what type of coach is he?
He's awesome. He's like one of my favorite coaches I've played with. You know, he's one thing I've always enjoyed about him since I've been here is how he keeps everybody accountable. It doesn't matter if, you know, you're the starting quarterback or you're a practice squad guy. He'll pull you up on tape, and if you're not practicing at a high level, he'll show the whole team how you're not. And then on the flip side, if you're doing something really, really well on practice squad or as a starter, he'll pull you up on tape in front of the whole team and, you know, congratulate you for the work you're putting in. So he goes on both sides and holds everybody to the same standard.
Dolphins wide receiver and special teams ace Mac Hollins joining us this morning on the show as the Dolphins are coming off consecutive wins in 3 out of their last 4. So from your standpoint, you're a guy that's always been willing to do anything, whether it was special teams, long snap, backup tight end, catch passes at wide receiver. You're always willing to do anything. Where did that attitude start?
I think growing up, you know, whatever I was, my dad and mom always taught me whatever I'm doing, just do it to the best of your ability. It didn't matter what I was doing. So, you know, as I grew older and if I was ever frustrated with, you know, not getting the ball or something like that in high school or middle school, my dad always said, if you want to be, you know, the guy that everything has to be on you, then you can go play tennis or go play golf or play something that's, you know, all on you. But you play a team sport, and the point of the game is to win. So whether my stats are good or not, the win is more important. That's kind of carried over throughout my career. So to me, if I go for 200 yards at receiver and we lose, I don't feel as good as if I would have had a tackle on special teams and nothing else, and we win.
You've had an amazing career.
I guess that's where it comes from. Yeah.
Yeah. You've had an amazing career. I mean, you were not recruited out of high school. You didn't have any major scholarship offers. You finally end up at UNC, and you're productive there. You get drafted by the Eagles in the 4th round and end up on their Super Bowl team. You play in snaps in that Super Bowl. What was it like to have the confetti come down? You guys upset the New England Patriots and know that, my God, I've only been in the league for a couple of seasons, and I'm already a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy because, you know, everybody tells you how hard it is to go to the Super Bowl. And there was guys on the team that had been in the NFL 10-plus years, never gone to the playoffs. And here I am, a rookie, winning the Super Bowl. So I'm not believing any of the garbage they're spewing at me. I'm like, listen, if I play for 10 years, I'm going to have 10 Super Bowls. I'm going to have my gold jacket hung up, and Tom Brady's going to be licking my boots. Little did I know that it is actually extremely difficult to get to the Super Bowl. And we really just had a team that things were all clicking. And we had fun, and we made plays, and it was just a special team. So that was an incredible, incredible moment in the year.
Dolphins wide receiver and special teams ace Mac Hollins joining us this morning on the show. ultimately, the Eagles decided not to keep you around. You had some injuries there, and so you land in Miami. Did it hurt you that the Eagles did not want to keep you?
Yeah, I mean, especially as a competitor, and obviously I got drafted there. It was tough. It's always tough to, you know, feel like you're not wanted somewhere. But I was glad to get picked up somewhere and have another opportunity. And, you know, I've really enjoyed my time here in Miami, so hopefully I can create a future here.
Seems like it's working out pretty well for you. I know there's a lot of Eagles fans right now griping that they didn't keep you because their wide receiver problems are pretty well talked about, well documented right now. So they're complaining that they didn't keep you around. You've always been a very unique kind of guy. I love a quote that I read about you that you said, hey, don't hate different. You've embraced being a different kind of guy. Have you always been that way, or did you grow into your skin at some point?
I think I've always been that way. If you ask any of my teammates throughout my career, I'm sure they say I'm the weird guy. I have the snakes, and I have all types of animals. And I watch anime, and I drink chocolate water, and I listen to vinyls. I don't know. That's just who I am. And I don't try to be that person. I just am that person. So it's not weird to me. I think it's normal, but then they're all like, yeah, Mac's the weird guy.
See, I love people like you that actually, you know, color outside the lines. We need more people like that. So I want to talk to you about these two snakes. You've got a boa and you've got a python. How big are they right now?
So the python is a ball python. So it's almost full grown. It's 4.5 feet,
okay.
5 feet almost. And then the boa is basically full grown. She's like 5, 6 years old. She is 10.5 feet,
oh
almost 11.
My God.
Yeah.
You got an 11-foot boa. And where do you keep these guys?
So the ball python just in a small tank. It's like a 40-gallon tank. And then the boa is in a custom-built tank. So it's 6 feet wide, 4 feet tall, 2 feet front to back. So
how
I can lay down in it.
Oh, my goodness. How do you transfer them when you move from Philly to Miami?
Oh, so this is another thing that probably adds to the weird list. I'm like, I guess cheapskate. Not cheapskate, but... So I moved everything from Philly to Florida. I got a 20-foot U-Haul and, like, packed it myself and drove it down. So I just put the snakes in cardboard boxes and made the drive overnight, and they were all right.
That's awesome. What other animals do you have?
So I used to have turtles and fish and a whole bunch of different animals. My dad had a bunch of animals growing up, between little monkeys, dogs. My grandfather had a lion.
Wow.
So I guess grown up with that in my blood. It's different types of animals.
Your grandpa had a lion?
Yeah.
Were you around when the lion was around?
When I was younger, but it wasn't one of those like family lions that walk around the house and lay on people on the couch and stuff like that. It was like in a big cage, and they would hunt deer and throw it in there to them. It wasn't like the how they show on TV where they're best friends with the lion.
Well, I don't know what's more bizarre, having a lion that lays on the couch with you or actually having to go out and hunt deer and throwing dead deer into a lion cage in the backyard.
Yeah, I guess either way, you're going to be in the weird group.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know that in the Everglades down in Miami, if you have a python or a boa constrictor or something like this, a lot of people, if they get sick of these animals, they just drive out to the Everglades and dump them in there. And the Everglades, being like a swamp, is tremendous environment for them. And so these pythons and boas are now like native to all of that, and they grow huge.
Oh, yeah. They're all over the place because people did that. That's what they do. They let them go. And then now they're flourishing, and the only thing that'll kill them is sometimes the gators, but now they're bigger than the gators. So they'll give hunters like rewards for capturing and getting rid of the snakes because they're so big.
It's incredible. Mac Hollins joining us this morning on the show. I think it's so cool that you're part of the Special Olympics Celebrity Support Group. We played that audio before you came on of you interacting with one of the Special Olympics athletes. And this is, I just think, the Special Olympics is so cool and so fun and so heartwarming. What connected you to this organization?
So I've done a bunch of stuff in the community, starting in college. And, you know, I've had teammates that were involved in Special Olympics in college that were like, hey, Mac, you should come do this event. We're doing an event like we're playing flag football, which is, you know, obviously one of the bigger events in Special Olympics. There's over 11,000 athletes around the country playing it. So that's where it really started. And then when I got in the NFL, I was doing a bunch of stuff up in Philly, which they called Community Mondays. So every off day, you do an hour community service. And sometimes it was Special Olympics. Sometimes it was cleaning a park. Sometimes it was feeding the homeless. And it wasn't until I got down here that I was really able to build a partnership with Special Olympics. I ended up doing stuff at the Super Bowl with them and doing stuff, you know, leading up to, you know, being able to talk with Nick, which was so awesome. But this pandemic has really shifted things, you know, a lot, obviously, because they have, you know, 100,000 competitions a year are held by Special Olympics, and now you can't have any of them. So that's why the Special Olympics kind of had this call to action where it keeps the athletes active over virtual, you know, means, whether it's over Zoom or Skype calls. They can still be active, and then they can also have people they look up to, which is, I'm lucky enough to say I'm one of the people look up to call them in and keep them motivated and surprise them. So I was able to call Nick and surprise him and get to chat with him again after not being able to see him for a little while.
An amazing cause, an amazing organization, and you're doing amazing things. We appreciate your support of this Special Olympics Celebrity Supporter Call to Action Program. Check it out. More Special Olympics information available for all of us online right now. Mac Collins of the Dolphins have won 3 of their last 4 games, and let's see if they can keep this thing rolling right along. Mac Collins, wide receiver and special teams ace of the Dolphins. Mac, this was a lot of fun, man. I hope that we can catch up again sometime this football season. This was great.
Absolutely. Thank you, D.A.
My pleasure. Mac Collins joining us this morning on the show. Dude's got amazing hair as well. He's had an afro. He's had braids. He marches to a different beat, and you got to love guys like that in the very buttoned-up NFL world. So very cool stuff, and his work with Special Olympics is a very important effort there. So feel-good story, definitely. That is awesome. Great stuff. Standing by with our headline this morning is Andrew Bogish, AB. You know, just not one of those house lions that lie on the couch with you. You know, one of those real lions. You know what we're talking about, right? Those house lions?
Yeah, I thought that was a thing you weren't supposed to admit. I mean, even well after the fact that you had a lion, or I still don't think that you were allowed to have those, but at least they were keeping it in a cage and not on their patio and feeding it correctly and hoping it doesn't get into humans. At least they were responsible lion owners.
Comes from a long line of animal owners. His grandpa had a lion. His dad had like a million different animals. He's got 11-foot long pythons.
Just carried them in the U-Haul. We've got a tadpole in the house, and we can't get this thing to become an actual frog. So maybe he had an idea how I could push ahead on the tadpole maturation here.
What do we got on headlines here this morning?
So last Tuesday in Tennessee, then last night at home against the Chiefs, the Bills 4-0 start fading into back-to-back ugly outings in primetime. Here's their QB, Josh Allen.
We weren't good enough. I was not good enough. I got to do a better job. It's plain and simple. I didn't play very good tonight. I know that. I understand that. I can't afford. This team can't afford to have me play poorly.
Allen just 14 of 27 for 122 yards. His second touchdown pass did make this a one-score game in the fourth, but then Patrick Mahomes engineered 3 points, and Allen was picked off with 80 seconds left to seal the 26-17 defeat. The Chiefs, for a change, did most of their damage on the ground. Their 245 rushing yards, their most in 8 seasons. Rookie Clyde Edwards-Helaire posting 161 of that. In Dallas, the Cowboys' first full game without Dak Prescott did not go well. A 38-10 loss to the Cardinals. Ezekiel Elliott fumbled twice, while Andy Dalton was picked off twice.
There's some good things that we can take away, but there's a lot of areas that we need to improve. And I think it's one of those things where everybody has to look at themselves. I've got to be better. I've got to do a better job out there and giving our guys chances. And you know, we'll look at this one and we'll move on from it.
He did say at the beginning there, there are a couple of good things from last night. Our research department still looking for them after this 38-10 loss to the Cardinals, who got their QB, Kyler Murray, two touchdowns through the air, one on the ground. He's the third QB ever with 30 TD passes, 10 rushing in his first 25 games. Murray doing it in 22, tying Dante Culpepper for the quickest. The NFL has reportedly informed the Titans that it has concluded its investigation into their COVID outbreak. Heavy fines expected to be the Titans' worst punishment. No individuals will be punished. No lost draft picks or anything like that. And Niners running back Raheem Mostert diagnosed with a high ankle sprain. Head coach comments on Sunday, and now the World Series begins tonight. Dodgers lefty Clayton Kershaw throws the first pitch at 7:09 Central in Arlington.
Emotionally, after a seven-game series like that, you know, you got to – it's a quick turnaround for sure, but, you know, at the same time, the Rays played a seven-game series, and they're having to travel, and we don't have to travel. So it all, we're all going to be ready to go 100%.
Tyler Glass now starts for those Rays. They won 11 consecutive starts of his until game four with the Astros last round.
Do you guys think the Dodgers have an advantage in the series because they played both their series in that stadium and the Rays have never played there yet?
I don't think so. It feels to me like it's a neutral site no matter what, and even the familiarity doesn't really matter much.
I just figured with the defense and going near the walls and everything, I don't know. I felt like the Rays really captured San Diego well. I wonder if it makes a difference at all.
I think the Rays should be the favorite in this series.
Oof. I mean, the Dodgers are still the Dodgers, right? They were the favorite to start the year. You're going to flip that now come the World Series?
Yeah, I think that the Rays are I think that the Rays top to bottom should be the favorite. I don't know. I think they're playing. I know that they let down 3-0 become a game seven, but I think they're better top to bottom with the way that they're playing. And I know that that was three impressive victories by the Dodgers, but I think the Rays are the favorite tonight. I don't know. Maybe I'm just
interesting.
Maybe I'm just, I am charmed by the Rays. I've been all in on the Rays for this postseason run. So I'm excited to see them tonight.
Well, it certainly helps them that they can start Glasnow, Snell, and Morton to start the series on regular rest, where the Dodgers are probably going to have to go in game two tomorrow with another one of their crazy bullpen games. So I think that's at least an early advantage for Tampa Bay, that they, in theory, have three settled starts from guys, where LA's hoping Kershaw's okay tonight and then needs some combination of May and Gonsolin to not wet themselves in game two tomorrow before they even get to Walker Buehler.
Yeah, and if you're going to do bullpen games, I always trust the Rays in those types of situations versus the Dodgers.
Can't out-Ray the Rays.
Penn State running back, NFL prospect Journey Brown not playing this fall after doctors discovered an undisclosed medical condition. Brown ran for 890 yards and 12 scores last season. And NASCAR has cleared Kyle Larson to drive again next season. He has been suspended since April when he used a racial slur during one of those virtual races that were so popular when sports first shut down. Larson, because of that, lost his sponsors and his ride at Chip Ganassi Racing. D.A.? Back to you.
What a moment that was. We were so desperate for sports, we were watching people play video games. Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader with the early games featuring two of the AFC's best going toe-to-toe when Big Ben and the Steelers head to Tennessee to take on Tannehill and the Titans. Later, most of you will see if the Niners can turn their season around against the Patriots, while others will watch the Chiefs battle the Broncos. We get you set for the day's action with the NFL today. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, Sunday. The NFL is on CBS. When we return, do you think your parents or grandparents know what a Twix is? One famous sports writer did not. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Don't like something? Get it out.
I do what I'm supposed to do. That's it. And if you have a problem with it, do what you want. You know, just run amok, all right? And I'm just trying to do my job here. And you guys just blow, let's just blow through everything. Let's just do whatever we want.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I will say that despite some technological hiccups from a corporate standpoint, today we have navigated those, I think, seamlessly, and I think we're on time with a lot of these breaks and reads as well, so I think Pete's got to be happy today. Pleasantly surprised it has not gone off the rails.
Yes.
Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. Remember, you can watch the best of clips every single day on YouTube. Go to the CBS Sports Radio YouTube channel and watch the DA Show to your heart's content. The best of clips there every single day. So Bob Ryan's one of my favorite sports writers in America. He is one of those guys that's seen everything. I just really value the old school writers because they've been around for long enough to have seen sports change before our very eyes. When you're talking about Bob Ryan going back and watching the Celtics of the 70s and the Celtics of the 60s and Bill Russell and Red Auerbach, it gives you context when he writes about things or speaks about things that he has seen that much. So I really value the old school journalists and the men and women that have been around sports long enough to have seen things I certainly were not able to see. And Bob Ryan, he's fast, he's smart, he's funny. I just always have loved having him on the show. I got to know him a little bit when I worked in Boston, and he still comes onto the show these days. And he's a very popular guest on Around the Horn and Sports Reporters and things like that. But the other day I saw this, and I had an audible gasp. I didn't know if he was being sarcastic or not. But Bob Ryan, who's 74 years old, simply tweeted, "What the hell is Twix?" And I didn't know if he was talking about the candy bar, the delicious chocolate-covered caramel gooey cookie Twix, or if this was something I didn't know, like there was some type of sporting event called Twix or some type of Boston sports thing called Twix. I didn't know. And then he tweeted, "Sorry, folks, never in my life heard of Twix. And many of you probably have never heard of the Clark Bar. Anyway, everyone knows that if we were constitutionally restricted to one candy, it would have to be Reese's Peanut Butter Cups." Okay, so let's start here. 74 years old. Mraz, do you think your parents, who are younger than that, and so are my parents, but do you think they know what Twix is?
Yes, because they have a pulse.
I didn't ask for commentary here. I didn't ask for you to take an unwarranted shot at Bob Ryan, a Hall of Famer, but you think your parents know what Twix is?
Yes, they do.
Okay. I know my dad knows what a Twix is because my dad's been known to enjoy a candy bar from time to time. I would think my mom knows Twix. My mom probably has never eaten a Twix, but I think if I said, "Mom, have you ever heard of Twix?" she would say yes, because even if you haven't eaten it, you see it at the candy store or on the candy aisle, the grocery store, or you've seen commercials for it. I have to imagine both of them have known what a Twix is. If you went back to my late grandma, who's no longer with us, and I asked her, "Do you know what a Twix is?" she might not have, but she was born in 1919, so that's a little bit different. Bogues, she would definitely know what most candy is, but maybe not a Twix. Bogues, would your parents know what a Twix is?
So my dad is 74, just turned 74, so he's right in that Bob Ryan wheelhouse. He definitely knows what Twix are. The one caveat being Twix is my favorite candy, which helps my dad know what they are. Mm-hmm. Without me, is it possible he doesn't know what they are? Maybe, but I still think he's been in a
store enough to mom's
see one
bogus.
On the counter. What
about
mom? 100%. Because she buys them for me every time there's a reason to give me candy. Easter, stocking stuffer, I get Twix bars.
Okay, find the person in your family that doesn't know what Twix is. Rack your mind. Could be a grandparent, could be a parent, could be an aunt or uncle, could be a shut-in, could be somebody who's socially awkward, could be somebody with a million allergies. Find somebody in your family that does not know what a Twix is. You got one?
No, I got only one.
Okay, Mraz?
Taylor, because she has no idea what any candy bars are yet.
So your grandparents would know what a Twix is too?
Absolutely. And the grandparents that are still around, Danielle's three of them, same thing with Bogus. They're big on any candy they buy us without even knowing what we like is always Twix. It's that famous a candy.
It's a delicious candy bar. I don't even know if you can call it a candy bar because it's two different sticks. Twix. Betwixt.
Yeah. It's a hybrid, though, D.A. It's unbelievable. And
it's
delicious. We're forgetting it's part of one of the most famous episodes of one of the most famous television shows that everybody watched of all time, Seinfeld. They're all at Twix.
It's all about Twix. I know. It's all about Twix. It's hard for me to imagine Bob Ryan, who's been around a lot of slovenly sports writers who have missed meals because they're on deadline and traveling all over the place for the next game, wouldn't be crushing a Twix just to hold over your appetite, right? I mean, did he have to sit next to Dan Shaughnessy one day when Shaughnessy on late deadlines eating a Twix?
Yes, or just go to any supermarket ever and look at a register. They're in front of your eyes, Bob.
Okay, more on this because this is a burgeoning situation. Bob Ryan of the Twix coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.